Well, like Brian said, my name is Eric. I'm a deacon here. I've been going to The Rock about 13 years now. So for the last 2 years, I've been here. And then previous to that, we were at the Sandy in the old building, the one that was falling apart. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be teaching on this subject. It's something that I'm really, I don't know. Brian said I'm a loving guy, and I know I have a lot of things I need to work on. So, but I do love each one of us here. And we got something special here at this church, and I'm thankful to be here. So my prayer as I was leading this over the last, kind of going through it, was to just share what we're trying to practice here. And hopefully, as a church, we can grow closer to being just better and closer together and united in love. So just like Christ would want it. So my wife and I have been wanting our family to grow. So this is kind of a good topic that sometimes we feel like our kids are bickering back and forth and fighting, and it seems like they're farther away than they should be closer. And so we've been really praying that our family will grow closer together and have the same expectations as Jamie and I do, and that they just want to be with each other. And so we decided to pick a verse for this year, and it's Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." So as a family, we truly can't get along and be united until we remove the ugliness that God's defined in this verse and replace it with a kind, compassionate heart. So I'm really excited to share some thoughts about love and oneness and unity as it pertains to our church in whole. We are so blessed to be a part of this church, and I've never been a part of a church that I felt like, man, we really get along and we really love each other. But I'm not saying that we can't grow in this area, but man, we got something special here, and I'm proud to be working next with you guys. So, recently in our core meetings, we've been talking a lot about core values for our movement, the Great Commission Churches. We've been talking about grace, commitment to God's word, reaching the world for Christ, the church, and leadership. And tonight we're going to focus on love and unity, specifically core values and how we should practice it. And like we always do afterwards, we'll break up and I'll have some questions for you guys to go through. So there are three values. Let's see if I can figure this out. Hey, there it works. All right. So we got three values that we're striving for. So here's value number one. It says, "We strongly revere the doctrine of love and unity within all Christendom. And God desires unity between believers as a high priority. And we strive to maintain unity with every believer, both within and without our association." In Ephesians 4, 3, it states, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God desires us to be together in peace, fellowshipping with one another. And if there's strife or division within that body, how are we to serve and win over Christ for our local communities, cities, states, and hopefully the world? Once a conflict that can't be resolved enters into our congregation, the focus of the gospel is gone. And we've lost track of that mission that God has laid out for us. Remember, in Ephesians 4, 31, Paul says to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and then replace it with kind and compassion. We must maintain this doctrine, or we'll slowly lose the focus of the mission. This is it's critical for our movement. We need to strive to make this work. If not, we're going to fall apart, fall flat on our faces. So, all right. Number two, we believe that our unity must be centered in Jesus Christ and in the truth of the gospel and of the scripture. Unity is maintained and enhanced as we believe and obey the scriptures, united in a common vision and following the Lord together. 1 John 4:12 states, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." I love that, completed. This verse shows that our love is complete once we first love God, then one another. To be united, we have to have Christ in our hearts and desire to love his people. Then God's love will be shown through us. And I see that in this church. I see that. It's a beautiful thing and it's a truth. And this is an amazing fruit that comes from a walk with Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 6:17, Paul writes, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit." We need that unification with the Lord. And there's only one way to truly be united with others is to first be united with Christ. All right. Number three, this is my favorite one. We value a deep Jonathan David covenant of love and loyalty for one another, particularly among leaders in churches, regions, nationally and internationally. In 1 Samuel 18:1, the Bible shows an example of how close our relationship should be with one another. It states that after David had finished talking to Saul, Jonathan became one in the spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. We know this story very well. Saul was the first king of God's holy people because they demanded one. Then Saul quickly disobeyed, and God appointed David as the new king. And Jonathan was Saul's son and was probably going to be the next king of Israel. Now, Jonathan should have been jealous of David, just as his father was. But he responded in a completely different way. I like this commentary. He summarized this covenant as greater and stronger than jealousy, than envy, than selfish ambition, which is no easy task. Being filled with God's Spirit, he made a covenant with David and loved him as himself, the same way Jesus commands us in Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. No matter who the person is or what role they serve the church, God's love should always remain to be the central focus of our covenant with one another. I think about this because sometimes jealousy can get into our hearts and just stir things up, and man, we need to set that aside just to love and be united and fulfill our role that God's given us. So this one really was convicting for me. I'm glad to study on this. Now moving on from here, we're going to talk about 8 common practices that guide our oneness in Christ. A few months ago, Josh did this interactive church teaching, and I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm going to decide to try to do the same thing. And after I say the practice and I give a few thoughts, I'm going to assign some men and women to stand up and just pray as it relates. So really just asking these guys to pray for protection or wisdom in this area so we can grow closer to what we want to be. All right. Common practice. Number one, for the sake of the gospel and the Great Commission, our practice has been to avoid divisive arguments on gray areas of doctrine and discuss gray areas in an atmosphere of grace and respect with the goal of increasing our unity. We define gray areas as there's no right or wrong answer within the Bible. And when looking at gray areas of the Bible, such as drinking, dating, educating your children, our practice is to speak to each other with love and respect for their choice, unless it's leading that person into sin, and that's a whole other game. We can have a peaceful discussion and respectfully share our beliefs in these areas, but we should not allow the conversation to lead us into anger or even division. I sometimes get very passionate about certain beliefs, but I need to hold my heart in check so I can talk to people who don't agree with the same way I do. So leave your defensiveness to the black and white doctrinal truths, and we can move on from there. So I'm going to ask Ron to kind of stand up and just pray for this practice that our church will obey it. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you, God, for this night. Thank you that we as brothers and sisters could come together and learn more about love and unity, Lord. I just ask that that we can, as Eric mentioned, that we cannot get caught in gray areas. The things that, yes, we can have opinions on, but things that aren't necessary in building up one another and building up the church, Lord. I also just ask that we're not Christians that hang out around the water cooler and gossip about these things that potentially cause problems down the road, Lord. Let's shy away from that. Let's, as he had said, be men and women that treat each other with grace and respect. And it's in your loving and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. All right. Number two, it states, when disunity arises on ministry and doctrinal issues, Our practice is to encourage leaders to persevere in seeking unity so that the church can move forward. Like I mentioned before, once a divisive problem takes place in a church, it moves the focus off the gospel and puts it in the back seat. When problems occur, our unity is questioned, and we can easily get frustrated with the source of the problem. Then bitterness replaces love. It is hard to share God's love when we're thinking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And I asked each pastor what their goals are when dealing with conflict in a church. And luckily, they each responded in the same way. They all stated how they want to resolve the problem in order to reunite them in love. And I love Pastor Brian's response. And he said, unity is the goal. This is a hard job for our leaders, so we need to pray for them that God can give them the right response in order to unify the believers and live like Hebrews 12:14 states. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. And once the problem has been resolved, we can move forward with the gospel. All right, so I ask Krista to stand up and pray. Thank you, Krista.
God, I just thank you for our pastors. Lord, I just know for me in marriage, it's a daily battle to be united with my husband, who I love and respect, God. And I just know there's daily battles in each one of their hearts to really work to stay united. And I just think of all the transitions our church has been in over the last year, and how, to me, the huge win in all of that is how you have kept our pastors united, God. You've really worked in their lives and hearts and really brought them together with real clarity and unity about what you had for our church, Lord. So I just pray that you protect them. God, help them to all be humble men that really love each other deeply, that value unity amongst one another, that really hang on tightly to the big things and let go of a lot of the little things, God. And I thank you how they've lived that as an example to each one of us. God, help us to imitate them in that. And just really pray for your protection on them. Pray that you would really just keep them united. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Krista. All right, number three. When members have a disagreement with the leadership on secondary issues, our practice is to grant full fellowship to that member as long as he or she respects the teaching of the elders. It does not create strife or disunity through that issue. Brothers and sisters, we need to live in peace with all men. However, conflicts and disagreements will arise with our leaders and others, and you need to approach that person in love and work to resolve that conflict. Proverbs 12:18 states, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." In anger, we can say a lot of hurtful things, but a loving word can bring healing. One of the sins of the flesh stated in Galatians 5 is dissensions. We must not allow this dissensions to separate what God has joined together. And once you start gossiping or slandering your leaders or causing division within the church, you may lose fellowship with the church. We take that serious, too. And once again, we need to live in peace with all men, even your leaders, even the ones that love cats more than dogs. Randy's going to pray for number three. Thank you, Randy.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for the pastors and the leadership that we have at this church. They are amazing teachers. Not only are they amazing teachers, but they're also some awesome friends. And I just want to pray that if anybody has any kind of disagreement or a secondary disagreement with them, that they'll go to them and not spread rumors or go on, you know, social media or anything like that, that they'll take it the proper way. I know from experience that we have some great, amazing pastors and leaders here that will not look down on you if you do have a disagreement. And I just want to pray for them and pray for our family here. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Randy. Number four, one reason that we advocate an elder-led versus a congregational-led structure is that it promotes and encourages unity in the church. And we see this often in the New Testament churches. Acts 14, verse 23 shows how Paul and Barnabas chose leaders for their new churches they were establishing. And in Titus 1:5, Paul wants Titus to pick leaders for each community. Once a godly leader is in place, we can trust their guidance and leadership for our lives. As Paul continues in Titus, he states the qualification for a leader. The Bible has strict guidelines for our leaders, and if they meet the standards, they are qualified to help teach, convict, encourage, guide, and love us. I could not imagine taking leadership based on everyone who walks through the door. My life would be a mess without the wisdom shared to me by my trusted pastors. And don't let this model of church leadership stumble you because you feel you need more to say in the matters. This is a blessing from God to have a structure like this in place. And with godly leaders, the church will function like God intended to. Paul's going to pray for us.
I just wanted to say, you know, it's like, it says elder-led is good because promotes and encourages unity, but it's just flat-out biblical, you know what I mean? It's what God has commanded, even if it didn't do other things well. It's what God's asked us to do, and it's the way He set it up. It's what the Bible says. Follow the Bible here. I'll pray. Sorry for preaching here.
No, you're sorry.
Father in heaven, I didn't sleep last night, so kind of like half hour sleep. Okay. Father in heaven, I love you, God, and I'm thankful for the structures that we have. It's hard to be led, I think. So it's like, it's hard to submit, you know, to a man, you know, sometimes, like, to listen to your leaders and have elders, it's hard to submit. It's hard to be vulnerable to other people that can make mistakes. You know, nobody's perfect. It's tough. But this is what you've called us to do. It's the narrow path, God, of trust. You know, it's the same way we get into heaven. We've got to trust you. And for this church to do well, we have to trust our leaders. It's not easy to trust somebody else. We don't know anybody else's mind, but faith is such a beautiful thing, and you know, faith in God, and faith in one another, and faith in our leaders, and faith that God works through men to do amazing things. And when we trust each other, we're interconnected, and we're on the right side of truth, and we're doing things in a biblical way in this church. You know, God, we're not all perfect in this church, but I'm glad we're trying our, you know, darndest to follow the Bible. And it's our instruction manual. And the leaders of this church go, you know, what does the Bible say? What does God say? It's not how we feel about this or how do we like this. What does God say? And I'm glad that we have leaders that listen to the Lord and get their instructions from Him as best they can. And I pray that you would bless them. Help us to submit to each other and listen to each other, and help this just grow together. This is a special place, like Eric was saying, and when we listen to each other, and we submit, and when we're vulnerable, and we share what's going on, God, you do beautiful things. So I love you, Lord, and thank you for tonight, and thank you for these people. Thank you, God.
I'm not sharing any of the pay with you, Paul. So. Number five. All right. Recognizing the spiritual warfare exists, and it does, and that our enemy seeks to divide, and we place a high value on building and maintaining unity between elders and between their wives. Jesus recognized the battle that was ahead of his disciples as he was praying for them in John 17. In verse 11, he asked the Father for his protection for his followers so that they may be united for this battle. Jesus knows the devil is ready at any point to tear us apart. And if he can destroy this beautiful gathering we have here, he knows that a gospel message will cease to be heard. Jesus knows that we need each other, and it is his plan for our lives to live in unity with each other. I love his prayer in verse 23. It says, "May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Our leaders and their wives are not exempt here. We need to build each other up and be united and pray for their marriages. And I appreciate that our leaders meet monthly to pray for each other, and both men and women. And we're held to an accountability, and we have to kind of tell what's going on in our lives, and this is good. When I'm thinking about spiritual warfare, I'm reminded of a church we went to in California. We started to attend, and it was just right after they went through a split. And it was an ugly, ugly split. And most of the congregation left. And I don't know, there's probably 20 or 30 people in the service. So not that many at all. And so a lot of people were doing childcare, so it was even shorter during the message portion. So I know the pastor was stressed out about the whole split. He put a lot on his shoulders that it happened. But he would preach the gospel, but there's just no one there to be saved. And conflict destroyed this church. And I don't know where they're at now, but I just pray that this never happens here. So I'm going to have Becky stand up and pray for protection. Thank you, Becky.
She's already standing.
That was hard.
So
God, we recognize that there is a spiritual warfare happening around us. Just for your insight, God, give us sensitive hearts to the war around us, God. I pray, Lord, that you just protect us from Satan's little lies, the world's little lies, and protect disunity from what the world says is okay to do, Lord. Help us have your word in our heart, God, so we can stand against Satan's lies, Lord. I thank you that you've already won the end, Lord. Help us rest in your victory, God, because you are the victor, God. And so I just pray that you guard our leaders' hearts and protect them from the
Lord. Amen. Thank you, Becky. Number six, we promote the practice of church members being empathetic listeners. Humbly seek first to understand and then to be understood. There are so many verses on being quiet and being active listeners in the Bible. Here are a few of my favorite ones. James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that's his folly and his shame. And Proverbs 20:12, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. I understand that we all want to be heard and understood, but think about that person who actually listens. And see the beauty of that listening ear. We need to slow down and be better listeners in our church. People coming here need to be heard. And then we share our thoughts. Yeah. I would argue there's nothing more godly than a man or woman who's actually listening. Our Father in heaven is the best example of one who listens to me on a daily basis. I need to grow in this area. In the back of my head, there's always some thought or a rebuttal brewing up, ready to pounce, but I need to check my heart and make sure I'm respecting that person. It just makes me a better person, too, to listen. And I pray a lot that I would grow in this area. Just shut up and be quiet. I'm going to have Robert stand up and pray and ask for blessings in this area.
Lord, I pray that we would be a church that just open our hearts and listen to the needs of those around us. We can welcome newcomers to the church and hear their joys and their struggles and just understand where they're at and to pray for them. And we can do the same for our brothers and sisters and our leaders. Lord, I pray that our leaders could do that for us as well, Lord. Just pray that we would all open our hearts and hear and understand where our brothers and sisters are at.
Amen. Thank you. All right, number seven. We promote the practice of defending and believing the best of one another, not receiving accusation against another person or another, except on the basis of two or three witnesses. This practice of problem solving is directly brought up by Jesus in Matthew 18. Remember that we need to think of the best of people with loving hearts. And however, once a conflict occurred, we need to try to work it out in order to be unified. You can seek advice from a leader on how to problem solve, but do not spread accusations. I like how Randy said that, not even going on Facebook and talking about people. If someone does try to tell you something negative about another believer, how should we respond? In 1 Timothy 5:19, it says, do not entertain the accusations against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. And once there are witnesses, the next step of problem solving can take place, but not before then. But then, until then, we need to think positively of others, not to form a bias towards them. I remember when we were in Sandy and we had a small group with a group of friends there, and after the Sunday service, they asked us all to come over to their house, and they started off by telling us that they're leaving the church and how they've been struggling with some of the negative beliefs about the church and our leaders. Now, we had two choices here. One is to buy in with what they're telling us, or two, disregard their negative beliefs and seek counsel. In the end, their perspective on the issues did not waver our commitment to the church, and we did not entertain the accusations against the elders. However, they did bring other family with them to leave. This was a hard time for us. We lost friendships through it, but I believe God blessed our decision to be faithful. John is going to stand up and pray for us.
Lord, I pray first off that you would help us as a body to see people how you see them, Lord God, and not through our own skewed misconceptions and preconceived notions of how somebody dresses or how they walk or how they talk, Lord God. Help us to see exactly into their heart like you do, Lord God. I pray that we would be promoters of people, Lord God, and not be promoters of division and gossip and slander, Lord God. Lord, I lift up our leaders, our pastors, our elders, and pray that you would guard them against such divisive talk. I pray that you would guard their hearts, Lord God. Lord, I pray for us as a body that you would help us to control our tongues, and that you would help us to be mature enough to be that in Timothy, to stand firm and not to accept accusations, Lord, and to allow that to spread like a wildfire of cancer and deceit, Lord, that we would be promoters of your good word, and that our hearts would truly be pure and our eyes would be set upon you, Lord God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, John. The last two I'm going to kind of combine together. Number 8 says, we seek to honor, love, pray for, and cooperate with God-fearing, Bible-believing churches and leaders locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Our goal is not to compete with the other churches, but to cooperate as allies in furthering the kingdom of God. Number 9 states, international ministry, we aspire to support, cooperate with, and honor the national Christians in each country, striving for unity Jesus prayed for in John 17. We believe that God will honor our church planning efforts as we first humbly seek counsel and unity with national leaders in each country. I appreciate that here in Utah, we have a group of pastors that meet with each other and pray together. The Standing Together ministry allows leaders to be held accountable and to get support from one another in the same ministry. The whole reason we're here today is because we have built a strong relationship with Cross Point Church. And we need to thank God for the fellowship and unity with all Christians. We have a pretty good place here, I think. And also, the success of church plants is dependent on the support of others in that area. As we continue to build up church in areas around the world, we need to seek their wisdom and counsel from their local community. We cannot head in there ready to steal all the believers in those communities. We need to lift up and support other ministries and churches so we can glorify God. I get frustrated when non-believers notice the disunity between churches. So we need to get God's blessing so we can be united as it was planned and designed by God. Ashley is going to pray.
Hey God, thank you that we come here tonight. Lord, and thank you that Eric could teach us, and I pray that we could consider each one coming to me tonight and pray about them, Lord, and seek your heart through all, God. I pray that we can be believers who are united locally and regionally. God, we're getting together ministries. I pray that other churches would see them as a ministry who loves one another and is united on the basis of Jesus Christ, God. And I pray for our churches, Lord. I was reading through through our great social group's prayer list today, God, and there's just so much going on, and they need so many workers, God, and I pray that they would get the workers they need to fulfill all the different spots, and I pray that you'd give them wisdom, and in your name, amen.
Thank you, Ashley. What else is there? All right. Men and women, as the church continues to grow with new believers, we need to rely on God's word and a Christ-centered focus, unity, and a love to reach more people. It shows here. People are wanting to come here, guys. If I could just leave you with a few things, one is if there's conflict or division or something, seek counsel right away. And like Brian says, we should do it as unity as our goal. So, and always just try to think of the best of other people. So, I'm going to end in prayer, and then we'll have you guys break up into groups, like 3 to 4, and then I have about 6 questions you guys can go through. I don't know, what, 15 minutes? Then I'll come back and we can wrap up. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you've blessed us so much here, Lord, with good leaders, God, with loving hearts, God, with a congregation that actually loves each other, Lord. God, I pray that we can just promote this to the world, Lord, and show that the only reason we're here is to follow your will, God. God, I pray you bless our church like everyone prayed tonight, God. You bless it in conflicts, God. You bless it in differences of opinions, Lord, and that you'll bless our leaders, God, to make decisions based on your will, Lord. Lord, thank you for tonight, and I pray that our conversations are blessed by your wisdom, God. And we're thankful for you. In your name we pray. Amen.